Good morning. Welcome to First Parish Church this morning. I hope all of you fared well during the nor'easter these last few days, and your neighbors and friends are recovering if things took a turn for the worse during the storm. Coffee hour, as usual, will follow our service today in the fellowship hall through this door and down the hall, and you'll see signs that will direct you to the lower level. To those who are guests with us this morning, we extend you a very special welcome. We're glad that you're here. If you'd like more information than what you may have found on the website or our Facebook page, the Church Life table will have a lot more for you to look at and folks there for you to talk to as well. So please do get to know us a little better as you're a guest with us today. Child care is available during the service on the lower level of Fellowship Hall if you need to find your way there, an usher can assist you. And one last thing. The day after the January meeting of the worship committee, when the committee talked about stewardship and upcoming services, the day after that, I received an email from Anne Gillespie. With her permission, I share with you what she wrote. Stewardship is a pledge of faith and hope in the future. Faith that we will each still find purpose and a place and make the world better and maybe even do great things that we never even imagined. And that we'll leave something worthy for future generations too. So we're grateful for what First Parish Church has meant to us, and we're pledging our faith in its and our future too. Our appreciation to all who have already participated in this congregation's annual stewardship campaign. If you have not done so yet, you can pledge online by Googling Pledge FPC Stowe. There are pledge cards in the pews, and there are also cards on the Church Life table and will be available to you at coffee hour. We hope to hear from everyone, and thank you to all for your support. And now I'd invite you to take a moment to greet those nearby you. If you turn and greet your neighbor and just say a word of welcome to this church this morning. We are a community of love and justice. We are a community where we can dream and believe in those dreams. This place is made holy by the simple act of our being here with one another. Being here, where we remember who we are and how we want to live.
Good morning. Oh, that was so much better. So Tracy lately has been doing these wonderful sermons, but parallel to those wonderful sermons is I'm supposed to find a message pages that ties into it. And sometimes that's easy. This week it was not for me. And Tracy suggested doing something on wonder and awe. I went through all my repertoire of children's stories and I couldn't find one that matched. So I was hoping that you all could help do the message for all ages this year. I mean, this year. Yes, every Sunday, each one of you are going to get a sign today. And the idea of wonder and awe is that time when you feel like there's something more than just you in this world. Perhaps it's that sense of being connected to everyone around you. Perhaps it's that sense of being connected to a spiritual feeling. Perhaps it's that sense of being connected that every single thing on earth is connected and you're part of that. For me, that happened this summer. I was at Fair Beach, and if some of you haven't been there, it's a beautiful, beautiful beach, and I am lucky to get to go once in the summer for a week. And I was walking on the beach very, very early in the morning, and the sun was coming up over the beach, and there was just these birds like flying right in front of the vista of the sun. And it was just a beautiful time where all of a sudden I just got that sense of, wow. And I'm hoping that you all have had some of those experiences that you wouldn't mind sharing with the congregation. And I'm really needing you to, so, because if not, our message is over. So, oh, good.
So my name's Brendan. I flash back to one of our adventures at Ferry Beach that we try to go to every year. And again, another early morning experience for those of you who have been to Ferry Beach can appreciate how it overlooks the ocean and watching the sun come up in the morning. And I sort of had my daughter standing in front of me with the sun behind her, and I found it to be a pretty awesome experience.
I just find the sense of community is amazing, particularly within this community. Whenever anybody is vulnerable or needing help of any sort, people just step right up. And I find that that's very representative of something greater than the sum of our parts.
So I went on a Disney cruise once, and when we got, it was to the Caribbean, and when we got like close to the Caribbean, when like almost like every single morning, I just looked out on the beach, on the porch, and the sea was just so bright, and I just always had this feeling that there was something under there who was like me.
It's funny you should mention birds, because one of the most oddly beautiful things I ever saw was when my wife and I went walking at nighttime on a lake, and it was a full moon, so fog rising from the lake, the full moon made the fog glow, and swimming through the fog was a bunch of geese. I would not normally found geese so interesting, but it looked like they were swimming through a luminous cloud, basically. Unbelievably beautiful.
I'm Jolene Trotta. I share this at the 9 o'clock service also, but my sister passed away over 23 years ago, and her son, my nephew, has a son, my great nephew, who often will play, and I see some of my sister's mannerisms in him, and I'm taken aback by that. I feel her presence, and I know that, I'm not sure if, you know, not everybody believes in that, but in those moments, I definitely feel like there's something much bigger than me, and those are my moments of wonder.
Sue Moses. I have been blessed with the ability to travel to a number of places around the world, and I find when I've been able to meet with the indigenous people or the native people of a country and eat with them or get to know them, that has been a big spiritual event in my life.
About 25 years ago, I discovered music camps. And there was one that was just starting up. It was at Ashokan in New York, a sort of woodsy camp with the deer wandering through the woods. And I was in a songwriting class, and I had to produce a song. And the birds were singing. And the place was beautiful, and it just filled me. And I can't sing very well, so I sang it in the class to show what the sound could be like, or what I hoped it could be like, and everybody started singing my song, and they started harmonizing with it. And I went, oh my God, I don't know what's going on, but I want more of it. Thank you all.
I'm Sandy Neergard. And last fall, my partner John and I did a three-week tour of parts of the United States, including parks. Was it Yosemite or Yellowstone? Okay. And so when we were driving on the road, sometimes groups of animals, herds of animals, would go across and we'd have to stop. So this one time, a huge herd of bison came across the road. And I wasn't driving, so I'm looking at a bison that's right beside my window. Running over was the little bison, the baby bison, and started suckling. The mother bison looked up and she and I exchanged looks in the eyes. I'm not sure what she was saying, but I was saying, oh my goodness.
All right, well, I want to thank you for helping me create that message and to see the sense of awe that spans and wonder that leads us to sometimes a spiritual place and sometimes just a sense of being connected to others. But the theme that I heard through all of those is a sense of connection to people, to nature, to music. So thank you for sharing that. And at this time, we're going to carry our lantern to our religious education program, and both Sophia and Adara Perry are going to help us.
During the month of March, we are sharing our offering with the Unitarian Universalist Urban Ministry. For two centuries, this organization has been serving children and youth and families in Boston and providing safe haven for women and children who are escaping domestic violence. Please support them as generously as you can, as generously as you make this congregation's ministry possible. We'll receive the morning offering.
We are.
first thoughts, then prayers. Think about the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas students like Cameron and David and Emma, called to action to stop gun violence by the loss of 17 classmates and teachers. Think about Black Lives Matter activists called to action again and again by the deaths of Michael, Tamir, Sandra, Philando, and too many more. Think about hashtag me too. Survivors, both outspoken and silent. Think about those in this congregation in the midst of loss, of recovery, of struggle, and of joy. Think, too, of neighbors and friends wherever they may be. Now, let us pray that those in our thoughts will know support, comfort, strength, love, safety, and justice. And for ourselves, we pray to have the courage to act, the courage to love, the courage to persist. For those in our thoughts need us too. May our thoughts and our prayers change us, so that we may change things, so that harm will just stop. So may it be. These are the words of Jacob Trapp. If it is language that makes us human, one half of language is to listen. Silence can exist without speech, but speech cannot live without silence. Listen to the speech of others, listen even more to their silence. To pray is to listen to the revelations of nature, to the meaning of events. To listen to music is to listen also to silence, and to find the stillness deepened and enriched. There is more love somewhere, is our next hymn. Number 95 in the gray hymnal. Please rise in body and spirit, for there is more love somewhere. What is your theology? You try to say the world the way it means to you. You look at what you live and try to speak it, and the mystery turns into a search for language to tell how it is, and to tell what the world has to say about what you mean. We are all theologians. We step, says Wallace Stevens, barefoot into reality. We touch the running water and the rocks. We hurt, we laugh, we grasp and are grasped. We fall and are embraced. We find ourselves in others and others in ourselves. Broken and fragmented, we are driven toward wholeness, toward integrity, toward healing what separates and divides us from one another. Long before we hold any belief about it, we feel the presence of something sacred and meaningful. Unable to name it, we respond with metaphor, with vision, with decision, and we live as though that were the way the world is. Your theology is your commitment. In Herman Melville's words, it is not down in any map. True places never are. A few weeks ago, I shared these words from Raymond Bon in the first session of our Building Your Own Theology class. Step barefoot into reality. Broken and fragmented, we are driven. We feel the presence, we live as though. What is it about us human beings that we are on such a journey? Are we somehow hardwired for spirituality or for faith or for something that those words point to? My own curiosity about why we search has led me on something of a meandering journey into linguistics, philosophy, theology, history, into the cognitive science of religion, where topics such as neuroscience and the soul, competing explanations for human experience, are explored. And the journey has also led me into the field of neurotheology, a field of scholarship and investigation that is not a quest for definitive findings about things like the existence of a higher power. But it does seek a deeper understanding of what it means for a person to be religious. Within and among all those fields of study, arguments of all kinds are made about the why of human religiosity. One that caught my attention, one in particular, is a variation on the creation-evolution debate, where fundamentalism on both sides is playing out. Some who believe the creation of humanity was a divine act claim that we are hardwired for faith because we are created by God and God hardwired us that way. We are hardwired for God, and over the course of our lives, we search for and may find God. Some who believe that human beings are the result of evolution argue that we are religious because our ancestors acquired genes that expressed an instinct for faith that has proved adaptive. Being hardwired for religion has enabled human survival by inclining us toward group cohesion. We are hardwired for community, and in the course of our lives, we search for and may find community. In this broad area of scientific inquiry, no matter the side of the creation-evolution argument, the human need for God or the human need for community are beyond curiosity, desire, struggle, or convenience. They are part of what makes us human. Human beings are hardwired to reach for something greater than the individual self. John Dominic Crossan, a scholar of the historical Jesus and early Christianity, has weighed in on humanity's hardwiring. We are, Crossan writes, hardwired for religion just as we are for language, but not for God any more than for English. We are not pre-programmed for any specific religion or any specific language. We are hardwired to search for meaning and make some response to the mystery that surrounds us. That search, Crossan says, need not begin with God. That is but one and only one perfectly valid name for the mystery. I'm inclined to accept this notion of hardwiring and to say yes to all three purposes for it: a connection to God, a preference for community, and a search for meaning. I say yes to all of them, apart from any argument claiming the truth of one over another. I say yes to all of them because I believe we are hardwired for something more, something larger, something beyond the individual self, and that it inspires us to seek God, community, or meaning. I say we are hardwired for wholeness, broken and fragmented, we are driven toward wholeness, toward integrity, toward healing what separates and divides us from one another. Long before we hold any belief about it, we feel the presence of something sacred and meaningful. Among the sources of Unitarian Universalist faith is reliance on the direct human experience of transcending mystery and wonder. There is one experience in my life I describe as having traveled that hardwired pathway calling human beings toward wholeness. If you were here last Sunday at 11 o'clock, you heard me reference a special place in the Blue Ridge Mountains, a place called Thunder Ridge in my home state of Virginia. There's just a large stone overlook atop that ridge looking west. I was standing on Thunder Ridge. It was cold, and it was incredibly and loudly windy. There was a bright and clear sky. From the overlook, the Shenandoah Valley spread wide before me, and across it to the west, I could see the Appalachian Mountains. As I stood there on the ridge, it seemed that the only sound was wind. No other sound was even possible. I stood there trying to brace myself against the force of the wind, and as I stood and as I braced and as the wind blew, I felt something change. There was a shift from the wind pushing on me, being a sound outside me, to the wind being within. The wind being the breath in me. The wind on the ridge and my breathing became one. And I stood rooted to that small patch of earth, no longer on it, but of it. My feet were earth. Whatever pulse of life there was on that ridge that day, it was soon enough beating inside me. It was as complete an experience of connection to this fragile and resilient blue planet as I can imagine. The implications and consequences of those moments on Thunder Ridge shape my theological journey and my understanding of my place in this world to this day. Those moments shape my search for the holy, for community, for meaning, and for wholeness. It has been more than 40 years since my experience that day on Thunder Ridge. Try as I might, and even now, I have yet to find any words that do it justice. I find no words that convey the intensity of those moments. Over the years, I have relived it, and the heart of what has happened is unchanged. Broken and fragmented, I am driven toward wholeness, toward integrity, toward healing what separates and divides. Long before I held any belief about it, I felt the presence of something sacred and meaningful. That is how it was for me on that day. It is a hard thing, this being hardwired for wholeness. It means there is something incomplete in us. There is room in us, Some might say emptiness. Some might say possibility. The possibility that allows us to feel the presence of something sacred, something meaningful. It is a hard thing to be wired for wholeness. There are no guarantees of outcome. Having this room inside us for something more can lead in many directions. Away from the spirit of life, away from community, away from meaning, into addiction, into danger, into a seemingly endless search. There are no guarantees. Still, here we are, humans hardwired for that search for wholeness. Some of us are intentionally following our own path. We are already on our own journey, our own quest. Others of us are looking for direction. Some of us are taking a break and may find rest here for a time. Some of us are struggling with an insight or question, with a hard blow dealt by hard times, by tragedy, by loss. Some of us are here with a spirit that smiles, for we have recently felt that something that is the presence of what we might call sacred. Here we are, with a wealth of traditions and stories and images and songs, a wealth of sources offered to us with the invitation to carefully, respectfully learn from them as we go about the tasks of making our own life's meanings. Here we are, hardwired for wholeness, held in community. The rest is up to us. What we bring, what we give, what we share, what we make. Let it be this way among us. Try to say the world the way it means to you. Look at what you live and try to speak it. Turn the mystery into a search for language to tell how it is and what the world has to say about what you mean. Step barefoot into reality. Touch running water and rocks, hurt and laugh, grasp and be grasped, fall and be embraced. Find yourself in others and others in you. As broken and fragmented as we are driven toward wholeness. Unable to name it, we respond with metaphor, with vision, with decision, and we live as though this is the way the world really is. The words of Robinson Jeffers. I believe the universe is all one being, and all its parts are different expressions of the same energy. And they are all in communication with each other, parts of one organic whole. This whole in all its parts is so beautiful and is felt by me to be so intensely in earnest that I am compelled to love it and to think of it as divine. May we live as though this is the way the world is.